Jack Boland has literally changed the lives of thousands of people, and he can help you change yours. The following lessons are designed to give you the information and inspiration you need to make your life what it can be. This program is entitled Reincarnation, Karma, and Resurrection. And now, Jack Boland.
This is the first of six lessons that we will call a study in reincarnation, karma, and resurrection. Many things have been revealed to us, and I believe that this series of ideas that we are about to share together can become one of the most exciting journeys in spiritual adventure and consciousness that you and I have yet discovered together. We're dealing with one of the most exciting of the ideas that has been presented to man, and when properly understood, this idea of reincarnation and karma and resurrection can have great significance in your unfolding experience and in mine. Now, when I said that this is a study in reincarnation and karma and resurrection, I did not mean that these six short lessons are a compilation of all that there is to know on the subject. Not by any means. Nor did I mean that everything I say to you can be scientifically evaluated and confirmed, proved to the resistant thought, because it cannot. But by study, I mean that this series of lessons is a pursuit of knowledge and understanding that reaches beyond the normal human experience. If you would like to go beyond the normalcy of thought, beyond that which is natural to man, and into the supernatural, and know with absolute certainty within your own experience that what you understand is valid and meaningful, that can be your experience. There's only one requirement, and this is an absolute requirement, and that is an open mind. An open mind is an absolute necessity for the student of truth, and that includes you who are advanced students of metaphysics. And by an open mind, I mean that we cannot expect to fit these new concepts into the limitations of our old ideas, no matter how advanced those ideas may appear to be. Now, I'll be sharing information and insights from some of the outstanding resource persons and materials that are available. But the most important source of the understanding that you seek is your own superconscious mind, the Christ of you, He that is within you, that is greater than this intellectual self that lives in the world. You see, that self of you knows the truth and will reveal its truth to you upon demand. Now, in this series of lessons, we will deal with reincarnation, a part of God's plan for man. That's the title of the lesson tonight. Next week, we'll talk about immortality, or your eternal identity, the single thread of consciousness. The idea that reincarnation is many lives is erroneous. You don't have many lives. One life, one immortal, eternal identity, many incarnations or reappearances upon this scene, perhaps. In the third lesson, we'll talk about what the scriptures reveal about reincarnation. In the fourth lesson, we'll answer questions. Questions will be being responded to, incidentally, in all six of the lessons. And then in the fifth, we'll talk about karma. What is karma? What must I do about my karma? And we'll talk about resurrection, what that really does mean for us. And then in the sixth lesson, additional insights and a summary of all the lessons. I I was looking through a newspaper the other day and saw the results of a Roper poll, and it showed that 67% of Americans believe that there is life after death, and that for whatever it might be worth to you, it has no particular significance to the lesson tonight, that 10% of Catholics believe in reincarnation, and 7% of Protestants believe in reincarnation. About 10% of the people in this country believe in reincarnation. And by reincarnation, as defined in my dictionary, it means to incarnate again, to be born in another body. Reincarnation is re-entry into human form and experience. And the word incarnate means embodied in the flesh, invested with a human form. An incarnation means an incarnate being of form, a living being embodying a deity or spirit. A living being embodying a deity or spirit. And as I gave you that definition, I thought, gosh, that describes you. I'm looking at living beings who embody a deity or a spirit. The essence of you, the spirit of you, that real self of you is your immortal and divine identity. It is that part of you that was created in the image and likeness of God. The word carnal comes from the Latin meaning flesh. And its Greek equivalent means shear, to shear, like to cut with a pair of scissors. That there is a part of you that is, well, you have cut it, have you not? You have sheared your flesh and you have experienced the flowing forth of that red substance from your body. But it did not escape from you because you are not that body. But the carnal part of you is merely the outer covering of yourself. And your spirit takes form, re-enters this human experience again, and gives itself an outer covering. Now, reincarnation either is or it isn't. But if reincarnation does exist as a part of the human experience, then it can only exist because it is an important facet in the overall plan of man's eternal destiny. It exists because the Creator, or God, created it. Men did not create the system. If reincarnation exists, it must therefore not run contrary to God, but is of God, and if so, of Christ. And if of Christ, then he must not be in conflict with Christianity, but he must be an actual part of informed Christianity. Reincarnation must also, therefore, serve the purpose of Christianity. And by purpose, I mean the object toward which one strives or for which something exists. Its goal or its aim. Christianity must have some purpose in its existence, and it does. Now, what is the stated purpose of Christianity? Its stated goal or aim? Resurrection. The resurrection, you say, well, isn't that what Jesus Christ experienced 3 days after the crucifixion? Yes, he did. But resurrection is also the stated goal of every Christian. The resurrection. Whose? Well, yours. Your resurrection. Now, we've become so identified with resurrection as having been an experience of some 2,000 years ago to another being that we forget that somehow we are moving toward that same resurrection ourselves, if we could but understand it. But we've never been able, in most of our thinking, to relate the resurrection or these biblical experiences or terms to our own daily lives, to our own daily experience of livingness. It seems something that is so far away and unrelated to your life and to my life, but it really isn't at all. And I think that this marvelous subject of reincarnation is going to bring into focus and into personal reality some things that have escaped our concepts in the past. Now, someone sent me a question coupled to a clipping of Billy Graham's column entitled My Answer by Billy Graham. And the question was, would you please explain or discuss reincarnation as opposed to transmigration? And the question comes from the article that I will read to you in part. The question to Mr. Graham: I don't think all men are created equal. Don't you feel this could only be done within the context of reincarnation? JWS. Mr. Graham's answer: let's call it transmigration of souls instead of reincarnation. The question was about reincarnation, and instantly the response was changed to transmigration of souls. And perhaps this took place because so often reincarnation is misinterpreted with the concept of transmigration. And transmigration is the idea that at death we pass into another body or form of life, from, for example, from human to animal life or vice versa. And that has nothing whatsoever to do with reincarnation. And Mr. Graham went on to say, what is contrary to Bible teaching is the idea of coming back to earth here, the idea of our soul taking an animal form. That has nothing to do with reincarnation. And I think I'll be able to show you in the third lesson of this series that the idea of coming back to earth here was prevalent throughout all of the scriptures. Oh, yes. Another question: is predestination the same as reincarnation? No. Predestination is the theological doctrine that all events throughout eternity have been foreordained by divine decree. Now, if this were true, then, for example, the comedian Flip Wilson, you're familiar with him, and you remember the joke that he has, "The devil made me do that." Well, if we believed in predestination, we would say, well, God made me do that. And in some large part in our human consciousness, we do believe in predestination. Certainly our insurance companies believe in predestination because they have clauses written into their policies that when a calamity happens, it's an act of God, and they don't pay on what God did. If your house gets swept away in the flood, God did it. They forget the fact that you might have built on low ground. Let's go back to the question that was asked Mr. Graham, or the statement that that person made. I don't think that all men are created equal. Let me ask you, are all persons created equal? The answer is yes. In spite of appearances to the contrary, all persons are created equal. And well, you ask, what about the child who is born with a deformity and will never be able to play football, while his friend who lives across the street will be a fullback for Notre Dame? Where's the equality in that? What about this child, the firstborn of his parents with an IQ of a genius, and his younger sibling, who in this life will always need the protection of those loving parents, quite obviously will never be fully cognizant or be able to take care of himself? What about that inequity? Can you still say that all persons are created equal? Of course. You see, the problem is that we have confused our minds by thinking that our birth was our creation. Did you think that your birth was the beginning of you? If you thought that your birth was the beginning of you, then you would almost have to suppose that then your death would be the end of you, unless some larger miracle took place. And life did not begin with birth, nor will it end with that experience that we call death. It is of another dimension and of a larger experience that does not encompass what you and I have known as time and space. And so that which has appeared to be inequality is not at all, not at all. Someone called me yesterday, not at all thinking about this subject tonight, but saying, I would love to go to church. I would love to believe in God. I would love to find what some other people seem to have, but I cannot, living upon this earth with all of the inequalities that I see in the lives of people. How can there be a God when some people are distressed and disturbed and poverty-ridden, and others seem to have all the breaks? And he said, how can you answer that? And I said, well, I can. It'll take about 3 weeks, but but there's a perfect answer to it, because each one of us is living by the law of our own consciousness. We can change our consciousness and thereby change our experience. The thinking that has confused us is that we are so identified with the body and oriented to the form world through our five senses, so carnal in our thinking, meaning of the body and of the flesh, that I dare say when I walked in here a few moments ago to take my position here, you looked at my body and said, hello, Jack. But this is not what I am. And so I ask you now to change your thinking about me, and with your mind look inside this body and behold my spirit there. I have incarnated in this body. My spirit has taken this form. It has created this form around it, this experience. But this body is not what I am. And I did not begin with my birth. That was not my genesis or beginning. It was not the beginning of the person that I am any more than that was your beginning. How can you explain the genius of a child of 3 and the ignorance of a person of 30? How many people have you seen that did not have to learn but knew and could perform and understand? Where did that come from if their birth was their beginning? A reincarnation will begin to explain many things to our consciousness, and it will take away from us a concept of inequity, and also it will take away from our minds the feeling of tragedy. Once you begin to understand the law of reincarnation, you know that upon this earth there are no tragedies. There have never been, nor can there ever be. There has never been a tragedy. Isn't that marvelous to know? You didn't know that? All things are working for the ultimate unfolding of each person. And there is no death. Reincarnation is the process of establishing our spiritual identity. And in that identity, we are all equal as children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. You are a child of God and a co-heir with Christ. And if a co-heir, then an equal. Have you given your mind the freedom to think that thought that you are equal with Christ? That requires the overcoming of a great deal of religious training, doesn't it? Requires a brave spirit to begin to think that thought. Now, reincarnation has as its goal resurrection. Reincarnation is of the human consciousness, the three-dimensional person. Resurrection will lift us into another dimension of our experience, that which the Father has for us. In the book, The Revealing Word by Charles Fillmore, I read from the definition, resurrection. The restoring of mind and body to their original undying state. This is accomplished by the realization that God is spirit and that God created man with power like that which he himself possesses. When man realizes this, his mind and body automatically become immortal. And from Romans, the 8th chapter, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead shall give life also to your mortal bodies through his spirit that dwelleth in you. That same power is in you. And the dead that we're being lifted up from is from this dead human consciousness. The process of reincarnation is helping us to awaken, to be resurrected, to be born again into a larger experience. It's something like waking up in the morning. About 4 o'clock this morning, I woke up, but I wasn't awake. Have you had that experience? I knew that at 6 o'clock, something was going to happen, and that happening was called the clock going off. I was somewhat aware of what was going to transpire, but not fully conscious. And that's the way it is with you and me at this moment. We're becoming aware that some larger thing is going to happen somewhere along the unfolding hours of our lives. A clock is going on. The dawn will break. A new dimension of wisdom and understanding and peace and love will become our experience. We've touched upon it here and there. We know something of it. We can see it as through a glass darkly, Paul said. Mr. Fillmore goes on to say that Christ, the absolute principle, the God idea in man, is the true resurrecting power and life in each of us here and now. What's the little dog in Peanuts? Snoopy, yes. Can you picture Snoopy with his Red Baron flying cap and jacket on? Can you? I saw an article in the paper the other day, a very brief thing that captured my imagination because it said Red Baron, and I always associate Red Baron with Snoopy. But this was a brief article about the most famous of the legendary flyers in World War I, Manfred von Richthofen, the World War dogfight ace who was known as the Red Baron. And he was being honored recently with a memorial air rally in Amiens, France. But this is what captured my imagination. In the rally was a 75-year-old Scotsman who is no longer allowed to drive an automobile in Britain because of his age. But he arrived in Amiens alone at the controls of his plane. He arrived at Amiens alone at the controls of his plane. Now, if you and I are going to achieve our goal of our own spiritual identity, we will arrive there alone at the controls of our own Christ nature. You see, there's been a concept around that something other than ourselves was going to save us, that there was some other entity that could control our destiny. And if you'll go back to First Genesis, you will see that in your creation that did not begin with your birth, you and I were given dominion. And we must establish that dominion. Meaning we must take charge of our own inner life, our own thought world, our own consciousness, our own identity. Take control. And in that control, we will experience the most remarkable things. You're familiar with Jonathan Livingston Seagull in the book by Richard Bach. Remember how Jonathan could never accept the fact that he was just an ordinary gull destined for the ordinary experience? And so he learned to do some things that he discovered were a part of his potential. He learned to fly higher and farther and faster with remarkable control. And Jonathan knew that everything that he had experienced, that he had discovered and established as being the truth about himself, was also the potential of every other gull, and he knew that they would be absolutely delighted and amazed when he came to them to tell them what remarkable beings that they were, and that no longer would they have to settle down to kind of hunker down into their little squawking seagull type experience. And guess what they did when he told them? You remember what they did? They cast him out. And I read to you on page 35. Jonathan Seagull spent the rest of his life alone, but he flew way out beyond the far cliffs. He learned more each day. And with that inner control, he flew through heavy sea fogs and climbed above them into dazzling clear skies. And our friend the Scotsman reminded me, what is age? In the universe, there is no such thing as chronological age. There is your spirit that is above time, and it is above space, and it contains within itself the full potentiality, anything that any exalted being has known, has seen, has felt, has been able to do. So will you. So will you. One of the most penetrating observations ever made is that attributed to Socrates. And he said, something cannot emerge out of nothing, neither can something resolve itself into nothing. It's a simple statement. You see, you are something. You really are something. You just don't know what kind of something you are. And what you are cannot suddenly become nothing. It cannot cease to exist. It can never stop being what it is. And what you are contains within itself the seed of all that is, because it is of spirit. It is of God. It is universal and it is immortal. In your creation, God gave you everything that is, with one exception. There's only one thing missing from your isness. Do you know what it is? Consciousness. The consciousness of what you are. Consciousness is that one thing that you must develop for yourself. And a few short revolutions of this planet around the sun, a few years upon this earth, is not enough experience for that consciousness to develop in us. It takes a little longer than that. It takes several re-entries into human form and to the experience that that form will give us to know who we are and to grow into the awareness of our universal or cosmic consciousness. One of the most remarkable books ever written was first printed around the turn of the century. It's Cosmic Consciousness by Richard Buck, also a physician. And it's a classic investigation of the development of man's mystic relation to the infinite, to the universe. It's the story of Mr. Buck's own experience with cosmic consciousness. He was a remarkable person before that experience, and an even more remarkable man following that experience. And he then goes on to talk about other people that had obviously had this unfolding experience, this resurrection into the larger cosmic consciousness. Let me read to you in part from Cosmic Consciousness. Along with moral elevation and intellectual illumination comes what must be called, for want of a better term, a sense of immortality. This is not an intellectual conviction such as comes with the solution of a problem, nor is it an experience such as learning something unknown before. With illumination, the fear of death which haunts so many men and women at times all their lives falls off like an old cloak. Not, however, as a result of reasoning. It simply vanishes. In these great cases in which illumination is intense, the change in question is also intense and may amount to a veritable transfiguration. Dante says that he was transhumanized into a god. The passage from self to cosmic consciousness, considered from the point of view of the intellect, seems to be a phenomenon strictly parallel to the passage from simple to self-consciousness, and from simple consciousness to where man is. An example, if you were to see a cow grazing in the field, and you have many times, that cow has what we call simple consciousness. It is somewhat aware of things around it, but it has no self-awareness. It is not aware of itself. It does not know that it is a cow. Well, it sees other cows and knows it's one of them, but it is not aware of its own self. It is not conscious of its consciousness. Okay? It cannot be conscious of its consciousness. Now, to that cow, entrapped within that field, with the fence that borders the field, the cow cannot open the gate, can it? And it sees you coming. And you either open the gate and close it, something that it cannot do, or perhaps you do even more than that. You vault the fence, and you stand there on your hind legs, and it must use all four of its legs. And can you not imagine the consternation when it sees you coming? And it says, there is a God. Look at that exalted being. Look at the remarkable things that that being can do. If I could fall down upon my knees, I think I would worship that being. Well, you are, as you move into the fourth dimension, into Christ consciousness, that relationship, the bridge between those two states of mind, is as broad as between simple consciousness and self-consciousness. And the being who steps into the awareness, the love, the ecstasy, the sense of immortality, the feeling, the wisdom, the understanding, the ability to perform, to the rest of us would appear to be an exalted being having powers far beyond our own. But no, not so. Always when such a person has that experience, they turn to us and say, but we are the same. Will you not believe and work toward? Will you not follow me into this experience? Reincarnation is the process that is helping us in time and in experience to move forward to an understanding and ultimately to an experience of a larger magnitude that was predestined. That is the only predestiny that exists. It is predestined now that you in time will experience the fullness of your life, of what you already are. Built into you from the beginning were magnificent capabilities, as yet unsuspected. But you will experience them. Again, from cosmic consciousness, when a person has been touched by this larger experience in mind, he knows without learning, one, that the universe is not a dead machine, but a living presence, and two, that individual existence is continuous beyond what is called death. The sense of immortality, the absolute certainty that one's own life is immortal and continuing, containing possibility. That the mystics from the beginning have been telling us were true. And more than that, such a person takes on enormously greater capacity both for learning, understanding, and initiating. And by initiating, we mean going into motion, going into action. Question: what is the advantage of being aware of the concept of reincarnation? Well, the system of reincarnation helps us to realize that man is not a finished product, and that we must begin to cooperate intelligently with God and participate in our own unfolding. This is the most exciting of all concepts, that you and I can and must participate in the unfolding of our destiny. An ancient axiom is that nature, unaided, fails. Evolution has taken us as far as we can go. And you and I are bridging the gap between these two vastly different levels and states of consciousness. From self, from our limited human consciousness, from the third dimension to the fourth dimension. In the words of the scriptures, from the earthy to the heavenly. The whole idea is to attain Christhood or cosmic consciousness, to put on that mind that was in Christ Jesus. And obviously, more than one experience is required to bring forth the fourth dimension. We're bringing forth the fourth dimension within ourselves. It's already there. Now, reincarnation is the experience of the three-dimensional person. Reincarnation permits us to grow into an awareness of and a desire for the fourth dimension or Christ dimension, the cosmic consciousness, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God that Jesus said was within us all and to which we could attain. It's not a place somewhere else in the universe. It is an inner state, experienceable to all who will believe it and will begin to work toward it to fulfill the conditions of it. Question: why do we have to die? Because we won't die. Because we will not die to our limiting concepts. How often have you seen someone who holds on to the past of 6 months ago, to the experiences of this life? Have you seen someone doing that? They're clinging to the past. They will not release. The human willfulness clings. And so the universe, in its tender, loving awareness of our needs, has devised a system wherein that it sort of reaches into us, so to speak, in time and takes hold of our spiritual body and jerks it out of this carnal form. So that in time, resting upon the winds, we will forget who we thought we were and can return again to work upon the unfolding of our true universal identity. See, man in his so-called normal human state believes himself to be something far less than he really and truly is. And he must die to that limited concept. In closing, let me read to you from the prophet Elijah Braun. Fare you well, people of Orphalese. This day has ended. This life has ended. It is closing upon us even as the water lily upon its own tomorrow. What was given us here, we shall keep. All the good that you are experiencing in this life, you will retain. The awareness, the love, the spirituality that you're demonstrating, we shall keep. But if it suffices not, if it is not enough for our ultimate unfolding, then again must we come together and together stretch our hands unto the giver. Forget not that I shall come back to you. A little while and my longing shall gather dust and foam for another body. A little while, a moment of rest upon the wind, and another woman shall bear me. We must die to the smallness of our human identity so that ultimately we can give birth to the true self that we really are. And we will return here again and again until we do that. It's a beautiful system created by Him who is the beauty of your own spirit. So it is.